This morning, as we come to 1 Samuel, the 24th chapter, and we're going to be looking at Saul and David, talking about them. But I want us to back up just a little bit and stop and just think about, you could really think about the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, and in the New, but in the Old Testament, you had a lot of characters. And it causes me to kind of stop and think about, when you see a marathon, somebody running a marathon, like the Boston Marathon or something, you see all these people, golly, Bill, they're going to run this race. But if they show the end of the race, they really don't, not that many that finish, you know. You ever notice that, folks? I mean, probably maybe a third of them do. I doubt even that many do. So you start well, but you don't finish well. And that is what you see so many times in the characters of the Old Testament. You can, you can look at any of them. You can kind of look at like Moses. He started, and yet he didn't get into the Promised Land. He didn't finish well. You know, there's so many examples of that, folks. So we see that Saul, he started as the first king of Israel, but he's not going to finish well. And we see that David was anointed to be the king, follow him. And we're going to see that David, although he didn't finish first, he finished. And he finished in a way that was pleasing unto God. He was a man of God's own heart. And so we stop and we think about ourselves. And I think about myself for sure. And I think about myself and I wonder where I'm at with God's own heart. You know, I wonder what God really, really thinks about me. I wonder how pleased he really is. But through God's grace of his son Jesus Christ that died upon the cross, through that blood that was shed for me, I know that it's not about works. It's not about anything that we're doing that's going to get us there. It's just about his love for me and how much that I have responded to show him. I invited him into my life, and I want him to know and to understand that he is living within me, and I want no praise for anything. I just want him to have the praise for anything that might be said or done on any given day. And folks, then you'll finish the race. You may have some places throughout the race you've stumped your toe on the sidewalk or you've hit a curb, but you'll finish, and it will be beautiful. So we look at David, and we are in the 24th chapter where Saul is trying to kill David this morning, but we're going to just back up and look at David just for a moment. So David was a kid, you know, maybe 12 years old, when Samuel went and found him and told him that God had sent him and he was going to be anointed as the king of Israel. And, David was young enough. Yeah, he understood, but I'm sure he didn't really understand what all was going to be taking place. And so we know that David is going back and forth. They're on the battlefield with the Philistines, and Goliath is there, and Goliath is just taunting everybody because Goliath could do that, you know. And so Jesse, David's dad, told David to take some food to your brothers. They're on the battlefield, and they need some nourishment. Feed the soldiers. Take some food to them. And David did, and when he got there, this is just Mike's version. Don't hold me to the whole deal on the Bible. But when they got there, and they're just like, you know, David said, "What's going on here?" You know, and they said, "Well, this dude, he's 10 foot tall and bulletproof, and, you know, we don't know what to do with him." And David says, "Well, you know, let's just do what God asked us to do. Let's just do away with him. And you want to go down there and do it, Dave?" "Well, not really, but I will. Nothing really to it, you know." So he gets him some rocks and puts it in his sling. And he goes down, and And we know the story. He killed Goliath. And Goliath tried to bully David and taunt him and everything else, and David didn't pay him any mind. Why? Because God was with him. David was listening to what God was saying. David was telling him, David, I've got this. I've got this. You just go do what I've asked you to do, and I've got this. Do you ever have moments like that when you feel like God's saying, just do this. I've got this. It's just going to require you to do it. A lot of times, folks, I felt God telling me, just go do it, Mike. Just do it. It's all good. But I didn't want to do it because I didn't really have that trust. I didn't really have that, that real, real good fuzzy feeling that I have now when I was younger, because I hadn't let my relationship with God grow, and I hadn't invited him into my heart to stay and to live and to grow me each and every day. I had just known who God was, and I knew who Jesus was. He died upon the cross, and I had accepted that, but I just kind of put it in my back pocket like I do my wallet every morning. I stick it back there because I might need it. Probably won't, but I might. If I do, I got it with me. And that's kind of how I used Jesus for many, many years, until I one day decided, this don't work anymore. This don't work anymore. When I was driving an old truck, I found my wallet thrown on the dash of that truck 90% of the time because I couldn't sit on it. I didn't want to sit on it. So I'd throw it on the dash of the truck there beside my thermos. And it's where it stayed. And, folks, that's the way we do Jesus, and that's the way we do God. We throw them on the dash of the truck. If we need them, we got them. We'll pull them out. We'll use them. But we really don't want them with us 100% of the time. We just want it on occasion. You see, we're going to start the race, but we're not going to finish the race very well. Well, David, after having killed Goliath and the battle with the Philistines, and they come back to town, and what happens? When they come back to town, all of the people come out, and they're giving Saul praise for killing thousands, but they give David praise for killing 10,000s, tens of thousands of them. And Saul got jealous. Well, golly bell, Saul and David had become pretty good friends, and he had invited him to live within his household, and Jonathan and David were the best friends. And so we see that the jealousy begins to burn. That jealousy sets in because Saul didn't want David to be something that he wasn't. You ever have people like that? Maybe it's people you work with. Maybe it's people in your family. Maybe it's just people that you're around. A lot of the times it's those people I say I love, but they're hard to live with, hard to be around. And that jealousy is building between either you and them or them and you. And, it's not good. It is poison is what it is. And this is what Saul was doing. His jealousy was getting out of hand. And so we see that he continues to let it build and it gets totally out of hand. And he says, I'm going to kill David. I'm going to eliminate him, and then I won't have to have anything to be jealous over. I'll be the king. David will be gone, and he'll be out of our life. So Saul set out on a mission to kill David. Now, you think about this, folks. I don't know about y'all, but I haven't always been the preacher. I hate that. I really do hate that, and I wished I had. But I haven't. But I know what having an enemy is. And I know what having an enemy that follows you around is. And I know what it's like to have to live looking like this right here. All the time, you're looking over your shoulder. And that's what David was doing. Because Saul, if he got the opportunity, he was going to kill David. And he took his men, and he went into the desert and into the wilderness looking for David. And he said, I'll find him. and I will kill him. So let's pick up with the reading of the scripture in 24. It says, after Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of Engedi. I get that mixed up all the time. Engedi. So Saul chose 3,000 elite troops for all Israel and went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. At the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding further back in that very cave. Now, here's David's men. Listen to what they're telling him. Now is your opportunity, David. David's men whispered to him. Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with as you wish. So David crept forward and he cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this to my Lord the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him. So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. After Saul had left the cave and gone on its way, David came out and shouted after him, my Lord the king. And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Then he shouted to Saul, why do you listen to the people who say I am trying to harm you? This very day you can see with your own eyes it isn't true. For the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you. For I said, I will never harm the king. He is the Lord's anointed one. Look, my father, at what I have in my hand. It is a piece of the hem of your robe. I cut it off. But I didn't kill you. This proves that I'm not trying to harm you and that I have not sinned against you, even though you have been hunting for me to kill me. May the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you are trying to do to me, but I will never harm you. And that, as that old proverb says, from evil people come evil deeds. So you can be sure I will never harm you. Who is the king of Israel trying to catch anyway? Should he spend his time chasing one who is as worthless as a dead dog or a single flea? May the Lord therefore judge which of us is right and punish the guilty one. He is my advocate, and he will rescue me from your power. And when David had finished speaking, Saul called back, is that really you, my son David? Then he began to cry, and he said to David, you are a better man than I am, for you have repaid me good for evil. Yes, you have been amazingly kind to me today. For when the Lord put me in this place where you could have killed me, you didn't do it. Who else would let his enemy get away when he held him in his power? May the Lord reward you well for the kindness you have shown me today. And now I realize that you're surely going to be the king and that the kingdom of Israel will flourish under your rule. Now swear to me by the Lord that when that happens, you will not kill my family and destroy my line of descendants. So David promised this to Saul with an oath. Then Saul went home, but David and his men went back to their stronghold. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. And thanks be to God. Mercy, folks. What a deal here. We got Saul, and he's looking for David to kill him. And he comes upon a sheepfold. And, you know, a sheepfold could have been a couple of things. It could have been a pen that had been built, and they had branches over it. It could have been a pen that was built right beside a cave where that during the hot days or in the storms and the bad as Harold's always saying, storm's coming, get them sheep up, get them in the mountain here, get them in the cave. It was a place that people used to cool themselves in the middle of the day. So probably what Saul had on his mind was, I'm going to step in this cave, guys, and y'all hold down and watch everything. I'm going to step in this cave, relieve myself, might take a short nap, might get a little bit of my energy back. So he stepped in the cave. I'd say he probably laid himself down, because you see in some Bibles where it says he covered his feet. And so if he covered his feet, he laid down, and he took him a little short nap. And while all that was going on, David slipped up on him. And instead of killing him, cutting his head off like he could have, or, you know, a lot of people say, well, he should have had. He just should have killed him, got rid of him. No, that was God's anointed king. God had anointed Saul, and he knew that. And he said, if I kill my enemy, if I kill the one that is after me, then when I become king, what will happen? People will be trying to kill me to replace me. He said, I don't want that. I want God to deal with Saul. I want God to deal with Saul's heart. So David comes behind Saul and cuts a piece of his robe and puts it in his hand, puts it in his pocket, and Saul wakes and goes out of the cave, and David follows him, and he confronts Saul at that point. You see, at this point, folks, if Saul, I'm sure, could have had, if David had given him an opportunity to talk, if David hadn't have been the one taking control and pushing forward, then Saul would have probably just turned around and had his men kill him. But David told him, he said, look, Saul, I want to show you something. I got this piece of remnant off of your garment. I've got it here in my hand. Look what I've got. And Saul recognizes that this is truly what has happened. He's cut a piece off of his garment. And so he listens to what David is saying. And David is telling him, I don't want to kill you. I don't want to hurt you. All I want is for you not to try to be killing me. I want you to go on and us live together in peace and harmony. You see, Saul was David's father-in-law. That he had already given David his daughter. How you say that? Macau? Pretty close. Macau. He had given David Macau, his daughter. And so David was married to her. He was his father-in-law. He called him father. He called him Lord. He bowed down on his knees and put his face to the ground. How many of us do our enemies that way? We don't bow down to the ground and put our face on the ground when we meet our enemy. We don't do that because we want to be right. We want to be the one to bring that to them. But David didn't. He had bowed to the ground as low as he could, and he said to Saul, what am I but a dog, a single flea? And in the Hebrew, that was the lowest that you could get, the lowest you could be, the lowest of the lowest. And he said, and you're out here with 3,000 of your men chasing me to kill me? Who am I? I'm nothing, but I'm the lowest of the low. So we want to stop right there just a moment. Sounds like David is really thinking about God. It sounds like David has really got God's interest in his, the whole thing is all about God, doesn't it? But you stop for just a moment and put a little bit of humanism in it. David's got the robe. He's got the piece of the robe. That's the same thing as Dickie Bomer being the sheriff and me slipping up on him getting his pistol. Be embarrassing, wouldn't it, Dickie? It'd be real embarrassing. And I said, up there at Katie's, Kentucky, I was real good friends with the sheriff, Sheriff Clark, and I was fooling with him one day, and there was a crowd of us standing there, and he had a new gun. And I said, Randy, give me that. Let me see that gun. I said, man, that is the coolest thing in the world. Before he even thought, he just pulled it out and handed it to me. Immediately, when he handed it to me, he said, Mike, hand it back to me. I said, no, I got the gun now. And it was the most embarrassing thing that had ever happened. But I handed it back to him. I didn't look at it. I said, I'll look at it another time. Because he wasn't thinking. And he done something to himself that he thought could cause great harm. And this would be something he could not get out of. So he needed that back in his possession. and I let him have it. But we see David here, folks. He has Saul's pistol. He has Saul's credentials right here. He has divested Saul of his whole being by doing what he had done. You think David done that because he's thinking God, this is what God really wants? No, I think David was putting a little bit of his humanism into this, because I think that David was saying, I'm going to show you something, Saul. You might be who you are, but I'm who I am. And I can, not only could I have cut your head off, I'm showing you that you can't do anything. You're not near as bad as you think you are. Very embarrassing moment for Saul. Very embarrassing moment. And I think that David done that to embarrass him some. But I think that he done it mainly because he had no desire to kill Saul. And he was wanting Saul to have no desire to kill him. So I think that we see that was the message of David and Saul, forgiveness. He showed Saul the humility by bowing on the ground before him. He told Saul, I know who you are. You're the king. You're appointed by God. You have the authority over me. I know who you are. And I want you to realize I'm nothing but a dog. I'm nothing but a single flea. But also, Saul, I want you to know that I have your credentials. I have your credentials. So, folks, as we look at David and Saul, the humility that David showed, the love that he showed Saul, being his father-in-law, being his king, being his lord, the one in authority, he was a man of God's own heart. That's what God wanted him to do. He wanted David to recognize who he was. Saul being older than he was, should have put some respect factor into the matter. We were all taught that if anyone's older than you, you need to show respect to them, because that's just the way that we were raised. It makes no difference. A lot of times, if they're older, they're your elder, you need to show respect to them. And so we see that David, when he was through speaking, Saul said to David, David, I thank you for showing mercy to me. I thank you for not killing me. But David, I asked only one thing, that you treat my family as you have treated me. And David said, I will. I will. And we know that as the story goes on, and David had invited Saul's kids to eat with him and his family to eat with him at his table. And so David really helped. He didn't really hold any grudges toward Saul. We know at the end, Saul didn't finish well. He killed himself, committed suicide. So we see that we all start the race together, folks. So many times we start the race, we stump our toe, we have a little hurt in our knee, we don't really want to go ahead with this race. So the first place is dishing out water, I'm just going to stop and get me some water and hang out right there. Y'all go on. And that's what we do. And that's how we live our life with God. We start the race, we come up on a little bump in the road, and we throw that problem up on the dash of the truck, and we really don't address it anymore until it has to be. And so, folks, we see that God loves us so much. He loves each and every one of us so much. And he started the race with us. We started it with him. He brought us into the world. He told us, as in Jeremiah, we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, I knew you before you were even born. every one of you. I got a plan for you. I got a plan for your life. I know what that plan is. Now, you can live into it or you don't have to live into it. But I got a plan for you. I got a blessing for you. And I want you to receive this plan and receive this blessing. But you got to listen to me. You got to do things the way that I want them done. And we see that the ones that live into that, they have such a more peaceful, blessed life than people like me that have fought it and fought it down through the years. And finally, toward the fourth quarter, you give in and you say, okay, I need to win this game. I'm going to do it your way. And it works. It works. So, folks, I hope that you're hearing what David is and Saul are telling you today. It's forgiveness. It's humility. It's love. Even when people are hard to love, you love them anyway. David didn't say, Saul, I'm going home, will you? I'm going, you go home, get you, tell your wife, get dinner on the table, and I'll be there, we'll eat. He didn't tell him that, did he? No. He loved Saul. He showed Saul he loved him. He showed him that he respected him. But David went back to the wilderness. He went back to where he belonged, and Saul went back home with an understanding, a covenant made between him and God. So, folks, today, I pray today that you hear what this message is telling us. You got enemies. You got people that stalk you, looking to kill you. But if you treat them with the love and grace that God has showed you, with that grace that he showed you by sending his son Jesus to die upon that cross, shed his blood for you and for me, that you can have eternal life. All we have to do is show back to them people what God has shown to us. Hard, very hard, very hard. But that's what God asks of us. And if he asks it of us, how could we not do it? How could we say our plan is better? How could we say that things that we believe and the way that I want to do it is going to be better than yours, Lord? We can't. You can, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work, folks. Give your heart, soul, and mind to loving your Lord, and then love your neighbor as yourself. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.